Welcome to the program. It is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. My name is Jim Rome. We start hour number two. Starting off this hour, we're going to go back to back, talk some NFL. Coming up momentarily, Ryan Connolly, member of the New York Giants, played his college ball at Wisconsin. And when I say momentarily, I mean right now. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. He is a member of the New York Giants. He is a linebacker. He was a 2018 Buckus Award semifinalist, a three-time academic All-Big Ten player, 251 tackles, 29 tackles for a loss, 6 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and a couple of interceptions. While at Wisconsin, he was the 143rd pick overall in the draft. Chicago is at New York. Friday, 7:30 p.m., we are joined by Ryan Connolly. Ryan, really good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. So when I introduce you as Ryan Connolly, New York Giants linebacker, how does that feel to you, and what's it mean to be a member of the New York Giants?
To be honest, it still sounds a little surreal just to have that, you know, my name associated with that. But, you know, be able to be a part of this organization with a, you know, the winning history and everything that, you know, this organization stands for, it's pretty cool.
You know, the reason I start you off like that is when you consider your journey to this spot, it really is pretty amazing. I mean, you were a quarterback in high school in Minnesota. You were part of a team that won 3 straight state championships. And then your senior year, you did not throw a single interception. But at the same time, how much attention were you receiving from recruiters at FBS programs?
I would say very, very little. You know, there were some small D2 and D3 schools around Minnesota, but you know, I didn't really get any attraction from anywhere other than, you know, the walk-on offer to Wisconsin.
All right. So at that time, as time was wearing on, what kind of thoughts were you having about your future in football?
You know, they were looking pretty deep, to be honest. And, I knew I wanted to go somewhere big. I didn't want to go to a small D2 or D3 school. I wanted to, you know, try my luck at the biggest and the best. And so I was very happy to get that walk-on offer, but pretty late in the game.
Ryan Connolly joining us. So what about that offer? How did the opportunity at Wisconsin come to be?
Right. It was just a, you know, connection I had. One of my strength coaches at my high school knew a former coach for the Badgers, and the little connection was made, and the offer was given, and I took it right on the spot.
All right, so as I mentioned, you were a quarterback in high school and a really good quarterback. When you walked on Wisconsin, how much defense had you been playing?
I had played a little defensive end my junior year of high school. Other than that, I was, you know, pretty much always a quarterback. So, you know, the first day at Wisconsin, they told me to go to the inside linebacker room. I was a little shocked at first, but, you know, I think I made it work.
Ryan Connolly joining us, I would say. Now, a lot of guys in your situation might be pretty frustrated when it comes to playing scout team, but I've heard you say it was, quote, honestly the best time. As a scout team linebacker, you were going up against an incredible offensive line. Mm-hmm. You're trying to deal with Melvin Gordon. What was that like?
Yeah, no, I mean, that was kind of my first introduction to, like, you know, what it would be like to go against some of the best. And, you know, like you mentioned, Melvin Gordon and, you know, a lot of those linemen, you know, were all Americans. And so to be able to face that every week, I think is really what propelled me into getting better.
And then you go to 2016. You're playing LSU in the season opener, and your teammate Chris Orr suffers a serious injury. Suddenly you're on the field, and immediately you're making a play to stop Leonard Fournette. What do you remember about that game and that opportunity?
Right. I didn't really have time to get nervous. You know, I just kind of thrust into it and try to do my job, and you know, like you said, you know, playing against Leonard Fournette, that kind of gave me the confidence I needed to, you know, keep playing well.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, when you come into a game like that, and it happens so fast, and it's unexpected, and then all of a sudden you make a stop on a future NFL player like Fournette, was there a moment of feeling like, man, I know I can do this, I belong, and how much confidence did you get going forward from that game?
Yeah, no, absolutely, because, you know, we all knew the type of player he was, and for me to be able to come in, kind of, out of the blue and, you know, make a play like that, I think definitely, you know, personally gave me the confidence I needed.
Ryan Connolly is joining us. So then we fast forward a little bit to earlier this year, and you complete part of that journey by going from being a walk-on at Wisconsin to being drafted by the Giants. What was that moment like?
And it was awesome. You know, just in the living room with my family and friends and getting that call. You know, it was a bit of a long day, but to get that call, made everything worth it for sure.
You know, you're coming off a really strong showing in week one of the preseason. What did it feel like to go out there and make an impact in your first NFL action? I mean, obviously you don't want to force the issue, but how good did it feel to be out there and make an impact?
No, it was awesome. Like, it was definitely a dream come true. And, you know, at the time I was just trying to be, you know, get all the plays in and be in the right spot at the right time. So just trying to focus on the little things, but, you know, it was definitely a blast.
You're right. In terms of your game, like, one of the things that keeps coming up is the fact that you're already looking to be a leader. Like, as a rookie in camp, it would be very easy to kind of stay back, shrink back, try not to get noticed. But you're looking to lead in any way that you can, as quickly as you can. How do you go about doing that?
I think for a rookie, it can be difficult at times to be a vocal leader. I think if you're going to try to lead, it's more by, you know, showing your teammates that you know the plays, that they can trust you and that you're accountable. And, you know, it doesn't take much to do that, but I think that's the way to kind of lead from the back in a way.
You know, one of the things that also keeps coming up when evaluators talk about your game is your ability to diagnose a play quickly and then get downhill in a hurry. How much of that is about the time that you put in the weight or the film room, and how much of that is just natural instinct?
There's definitely a big component that's preparation and, you know, scouting your opponent and knowing what to expect. And I think the even bigger portion, though, is, you know, confidence and understanding what you see is what it is. And then when you test it, that's when you can play faster.
So, Ryan, lately our family's been spending a lot of time in Wisconsin, and the reason for that is my son, who graduated high school, is going to start in the fall at Wisconsin as a student. And,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, we love it. We love the school. We love everything about it. How much did you enjoy your time in Madison?
No, I mean, it was awesome there. I mean, it's honestly, I believe it was just, you know, named the best college sports town by Sports Illustrated yet again this year. And, you know, it's got everything you could possibly need there.
So finally, when you look back on your time there, what are the things that are going to stick out to you the most?
I think it's kind of cliche, but definitely just the relationships with, you know, you build with everyone and some of those big games we were all in together. And, you know, those are just a blast.
He was a three-time academic All-Big Ten player, a 2018 Buckus Award semifinalist, and now a member of the New York Giants. They take on Chicago on Friday night. Ryan Connolly, my guest. Ryan, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Have a great day. I mentioned that we would start hour number two by going back-to-back, and we will do just that. All right, so we start hour number two. That was Ryan Connolly, Giants linebacker. Great story. Great high school quarterback, didn't get a lot of attention coming out of high school, walked on at Wisconsin, and was the 143rd pick overall. Coming up in about 10 minutes from right now, Tennessee Titans defensive end Cameron Wake. Good friend of the program, Jim Trotter, is going to join me in hour number three. So last hour I said, hey, clones, do better. Don't keep running back the same tired shtick. I see this all the time, right? So in the middle of the summer, I take 2 weeks off. I do this every year. I go away for 2 weeks. First couple of days, you got to unwind and kind of settle into it. By the middle or end of week number one, you feel pretty good. Yeah, a few more good days. By the middle of week two, you start feeling like, you know what? I'm getting kind of amped up. I've charged my battery. I'm ready to come back to work. By the time I finally hit the first day back after 2 weeks, I've already forgotten about all the imbecility and some of the idiocy that you hit me with, and then it all comes rushing back. So I said, again, if I were to do the same exact show every single day, do you think I would still have a show, much less decades later? The answer is no. Yet some of you send me the same tired emails and tweets day after day after day. And so I made that point, that analogy. Not an analogy dealing with a severed limb. Not an analogy dealing with circumcised feet. An analogy or a point about, if I gave you the same jokes and the same takes every day, nobody would listen. Do better. So this guy tweets at Come On Jared. That's his Twitter handle. At Come On Jared.
Come on Jared.
I agree. All these old references are tired and lame. Oh, but just so you know, when I heard that you made the Radio Hall of Fame, I got really choked up. Sincerely, Mama Cass. Case in point. Well, you like that, James Kelly. I know you like it. You brought it to me.
You like that? You like that?
I hate that. I hate
that.
Also, last hour, Rick in Buffalo came in with his major announcement. Rick in Buffalo's major announcement. He's coming to SoCal. Not that Rick in Buffalo is moving to SoCal. He's just coming to SoCal for an entire week. And since he dropped HB, it sounds like he's going to hang with Silk. I don't know if he's staying with Silk, but he's going to spend some time with Silk. Hey, listen, if you're coming to SoCal and you've got any kind of jungle attachment or jungle relationship, Silk is the first guy you want to find. He'll hook it up. Hey, Jim, what's wrong with clones recycling material? Yours? IRA. Using a tower fan box as a golf bag. Brett from Bugaha. A programmatic fit. Dude, you're a programmatic non-fit. Brett, you always have been. Ask Brad Childress. You are a programmatic non-fit.
It was a programmatic non-fit.
We talked about Antonio Brown. I mentioned at the top of the program that I was done. I was over it. I had started the last two shows with Antonio Brown. It was tired. It was played. I was done. I was finished. And that was until, I'd say the same thing about Hard Knocks. I was done. It was tired. I was finished. It had jumped the shark. It slammed into the shark. It had been eaten by the shark. And then all of a sudden, Antonio Brown shows up talking about his circumcision. His foot circumcision. And then it forced me to leave the show again.
Yeah, my feet is pretty much getting circumcised, right?
My feet is pretty much getting circumcised, right? I don't know. Whatever you say, AB. So I had to leave the show again. If not for that, I would have led with Jerry Jones, who is actually the godfather of sports circumcisions.
Circumcising the mosquito.
Now athletes and owners are circumcising feet, circumcising mosquitoes. We covered both those topics in hour number one. Something I touched on but I've not gotten into, Magic Johnson, man. Somebody's got to rip that iPhone out of his hands. It's just getting weird to me. Weird. The things that he thumbs out, like it just seems a little bit off. 60, you turn 60, who knows? You know, as you look back on your life and you think about what could have been or what is, maybe you have regrets, maybe you have none. Who am I to tell somebody how to celebrate number 60? It's a pretty big number. I'm not there yet, so I don't know. But he's celebrating number 60 in a weird way on his phone. That's coming up too. Another topic I want to hit on. Indica Mike Hyson. It is official. He had one of the greatest nicknames ever, and now he has a new one, and it might be better. Iron Mike Tyson is now officially Indica Mike Hyson. And I mean that respectfully. I do not want to get on the wrong side of Mike. Not then, not now, not ever. That's coming up. But when we come back, Tennessee Titans defensive end Cameron Wake. I know it's tough to follow Rick. If you want to take a shot, go ahead and do it. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, Rick, I don't care what they say. I don't care what the JTP says. I don't care what social or Twitter says. I am the only legitimate native of Los Angeles. You are welcome. You come to my town. You stay as long as you want. You do what you want. Love to have you here. Cameron Wake coming up next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Are you looking for something to do this weekend? Pick 3 basketball wrapping up its regular season with teams fighting for playoff positioning. And Sunday, NFL preseason action. Saints at the Chargers. All of that is happening on CBS. Also, coming up later on today, Jim Rome Podcast. Hall of Famer Sugar Ray Leonard is joining me. Look for that later on. Also, remember, Friday, Self-Gloss Friday. Self-Gloss Friday. You don't get the entire day, but you do get one segment. I am efforting Cameron Wake, Tennessee Titans defensive end. As soon as I have him, I will let you know. Meantime, that gives you an opportunity to give me a call, 1-800-636-8686. Big birthdays coming up. Magic has got number 60. Let me start this thought, and I'm going to interrupt the thought if I find Cameron Wake. fact, I'm going to interrupt that thought right now. He is a defensive end with the Tennessee Titans. He is an All-Pro. He is a five-time Pro Bowler. 98 career sacks since 2009. That is tied for most in the NFL. 213 quarterback pressures in 10 seasons. On top of all that, a two-time CFL Defensive Player of the Year, a two-time winner of the Don Shula Leadership Award. He was undrafted out of Penn State back in 2005. Tennessee is hosting New England Saturday night. Cameron Wake is my guest. Cameron, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Cameron, I'm great. You have had a really interesting career, so let me first start right here. When you signed with the Titans earlier this year, you called it, quote, a match made in heaven for me. So we're a few months into this right now. What's it been like? Has your time there been pretty much the what you expected it?
Actually, it's even been better than expected. I think, as players, especially, when you've played a long time in this league, you've crossed paths with a lot of different people. And even some of the guys who you keep up with, maybe they're on another team, you kind of get opportunity to look, from outside in and see how things are going, from their perspective. Some guys either you played with, played against, coaches who maybe have coached you, have changed teams, so on and so forth. So, I've experienced that, guys who've left certain teams and come to the Dolphins. So, I've crossed paths with a lot of different players who have, played on Titans or been affiliated with this organization. And, I mean, it's been nothing but, tremendous, tremendous respect. And I think, given the opportunity to come and join up with these guys, it's been, it's been an amazing experience. And now that I'm on the inside looking out, it's even better than I had expected before when I signed.
We're talking to Cameron Wake. Over the years, guys, I've talked to guys on that defense with Tennessee, a number of guys, and I've got nothing but respect for how they handle their business. It also seems like from the outside, your mindset when it comes to handling business on the field is very similar to a lot of the guys that I've spoken to. How much of this match made in heaven has been about scheme and approach, but then how much is it about guys who are on that side of the ball that have a similar mindset to you?
I think it was a mix of both. And like I said before, when I had the opportunity to either speak to guys who have come from or guys who are currently on the Titans, in my dealings, especially in the free agent time when I got to speak in a little more in depth, both the scheme and the mindset, the mentality, the mantra of the organization, it's been kind of matched line and step with the way I kind of handle my business. So from the top down, obviously the organization, the ownership, obviously the head coach being a guy who, and not only has been a player, but played a defensive end, the same position I played. Also played, 14 years, where I am, has been a rookie, had been a mid guy and a veteran. So he knows, the game from this side of the line, as well as now he stepped across and now he's head coach. So, having that kind of, perspective and being able to use that perspective and, how he coaches day to day, I think all of those things trickle down and, touch every part of how we, do our business on the field and off. And I think that's, a tremendous asset and, one of the reasons why I'm here.
We're talking to Cameron Wake, and of course, you're talking about Mike Vrabel, who did play 14 years in the NFL and play the same position. Cameron, when you got there, although you're one of the new guys who's there, you're certainly not one of the new guys, and it's been very clear that you're happy to pass along what you've learned because guys did that when you first came in. As you look back, who were some of the mentors and leaders that you had when you first came back to the NFL?
I've truly been a blessing, obviously, my career. I came in as a young man, and I was signed in Miami, and I had, a guy that a couple guys might know, and Jason Taylor on one side, Joey Porter on the other, two guys who were playing outside linebacker, getting after the quarterback, both of them obviously multiple-time Pro Bowlers and did tremendous things in their careers, and being able to be a sponge underneath those guys, get under their wing and ask all the questions and just kind of follow their lead. And now, it's interesting the way the torch is passed on. And I was one of those guys where, guys came up to me and asked me questions about things and both on and off the field, the same kind of questions I was asking. And obviously it still continues to this day where now I got guys who are, literally 15 years younger than me. Some guys I could technically be their fathers, asking me questions about, football life and whatever it may be and have an opportunity to pass on all the knowledge that I've gained throughout my time playing. Passing on to those young guys who will in turn do it, to the next generation when they come in.
So, Cameron, when you say maybe I'm familiar with those two guys, not only am I familiar with those two guys, but Joey Porter is one of my favorite guys ever. Can you give me a Joey Porter story? What's your favorite Joey Porter story that you can share?
Well, if you know Joey Porter, there's probably a few that you can't share.
That's what I'm saying.
but I mean, I think overall it was just the way to be a professional, the way you carry yourself, the way to go about your business. I mean, the business of football, I mean, it's so many intricacies of it, but then obviously there's so many little tricks of the trade and wisdoms on the field that you can gain, not only from, you know, guys like that, but we had a lot of the veterans who played, not just the outside linebacker position. We had a lot of veterans who played, and I think when you have that, you know, that wisdom that's on the field, you know, it's really no other way to gain that. I mean, you can read all the books, you can study all the film, but until you go out there and you've actually played between the lines and you know what it feels like, you know, 2 days training camp, have 300-pound man, put your hands on each other, all those things, it's a different way and a different respect that to pass on those little nuggets. And I think obviously both of those guys played many, many years in this league, and, you know, obviously same thing with Coach Vrabel, who's now head coach.
Tennessee Titan Cameron Wake is joining us. You know, as part of that, being a professional and the way you approach your craft, this is really interesting. I mean, there are guys on defense who are serious about taking care of their body and making sure they're ready to go on Sundays. You've made it pretty simple when it comes to your approach to food. Let me read you this quote. If you eat potato chips and cheeseburgers, it tastes great for 10 minutes, but you're going to feel like crap for a day and a half. It's not a good return on investment. As a businessman, I'd be like, all right, I want to put this in and I'm going to get exponential back. This is a losing business model. End of quote. I love that. Where does that mindset come from?
You know, it's funny. I laugh. It's common sense in my mind. I think, and you look at the world of football, and so many guys are trying to gain every little advantage, and you'll see guys running hills and doing, you know, some odd training regimen, upside down, underwater, all the things, eat drinking special water, all the things. And I think, you know, when you talk about nutrition, that's one area that, you know, for, I don't say just football players, but people in general kind of drop the ball on. And I think it's a common sense thing. You know, you're not supposed to have bad food. And when I say bad food, I mean like overprocessed fast food, junky food, fatty food, you know, stuff in bags. Like, those are the things that you avoid. You eat whole foods, lean foods, greens, vegetables, get your sleep, all those little details. And I think it's just a simple, simple thing that you think of. I just had a cheeseburger. If you eat a cheeseburger and a bag of fries, it tastes great for 10 minutes, but then it's going to slow you down. It's going to feel bad for, you know, a day and a half. But if you eat that salad, and I'll say suffer, because some people who don't like salad or whatever the good thing you're supposed to eat is, they suffer through that salad for 10 minutes. But that return is going to help you feel lighter, faster, more alert, recover better for, you know, another day or day and a half. And I think that 10 minutes traded off with that day and a half is, to me, just a simple, simple way to take that next step, to gain that 1 inch that you can, obviously 1 inch in this game can change the course of the game, which one game can change the course of a season. And, you know, I'm willing to take that suffering, if that's the word, in order to gain that extra inch.
All right, so since you broaden that out to, it's not just football, it's not just athletics, it's life. I mean, to your point, it's simple, right? Simple but not easy. It's one of those things, simple but not easy. But if we all know better, Cameron, then why do we all do the wrong thing, myself included? Why do we eat that crap when it's only going to feel good for 5 minutes and we're going to feel like crap for a day and a half? Why do we do it?
You know, that's a great question. I think, like I said, it feels good. And I think, I mean, to most people's credit, I mean, especially I'll just use you for an example. You're not technically using your body as your method of, you know, sustaining your life, taking care of your family, so on and so forth. You know, I would assume your voice and your, you know, your journalism skills, so on and so forth, that's how you make your money. Whereas athletes, professional athletes, this is my body, this is my Ferrari, I got to take care of it. And I got to, you know, obviously put in the best possible ingredients, take care of it the best possible way, because on Sundays, you know, that extra inch or that extra burst or that extra recovery, those are the things that are going to help me take care of my family, reach my goals, create a legacy, so on and so forth. And to me, I said this a long time ago, cheeseburgers aren't going anywhere, video games aren't going anywhere, parties aren't going anywhere. You know, if you do the right thing now, you can go have cheeseburgers, you know, till they fall out your ears, you know, down the line. But now I had this one opportunity, I had this one window, this one chance to be great, to achieve what I want to achieve, and I choose, you know, whatever it may be over those small little, you know, gratifications that are short and sweet for the long-term, you know, benefits that I'm going to gain.
Cameron Wake is breaking it down. I appreciate you picking me up like that, although I know better. We all know better. Hey, listen, I ran down part of your resume at the top of the interview, but I didn't have time for all of it because it's a monster resume. You've done just about everything there is to do in the game, and you've done it as a guy who was not drafted, who did not make the 90-man roster. So what, and I can hear it in your voice, man, you've got that fierce drive still. What motivates you now? What drives you now? Is it still about being overlooked way back in the day, or is it something else?
Well, you know what? I think I've kind of passed that up, you know, over the course of my career. You know, I think, you know, there was a time when I used to look back and everybody calls it, you know, that chip on your shoulder where you're going against a guy who was drafted and you weren't, and let's go kick his butt and all, you know, all those things. But, you know, I look at my career, I look back, and I'm content with who I am, where I am, what I've become. I look at my journey. I look at, you know, where I started and where I am now, and, you know, I've kind of let that little chip or whatever you want to call it die, and that's been gone. Because, you know, I think there was a time where I went back and I looked at all the, you know, 2005 draft class and all the guys who, you know, went in the first round and all their stuff, and, you know, you compare careers and all, you know, all the stuff, right? And, you know, again, I don't look back, and I don't have any regrets for my path. It was what I you know, had. I used the cards that I was dealt and made the best hand I could. And, you know, I think there are guys out there probably who were first-rounders back then, household names back then, who wish they were still playing, and I'm still given the opportunity to do that. So, you know, it's not one of those things. It's more of every day I look in the mirror, and I look at the guy looking back at me, and I have to outdo him, outdo his best, do better than he did the day before. You know, I'm not comparing myself to anybody else anymore. I compare myself to my own achievements, my own goals, and I'm a pretty tough critic. I have, you know, high expectations of myself and my abilities, probably higher than my coaches and some other fans. And so, you know, every day I have to go out there and meet those expectations. And, you know, that's why I'm still here playing this game, and I'm going to continue to do it until, you know, I feel like it's time to step away. So I take it one year at a time, and right now I'm feeling good, and I'm enjoying, you know, chasing that goal down.
That's great. So finally, is it about you versus the guy in front of you, or is it ultimately always about you versus you?
It's always about me versus me. I think this is the way I look at it. If I do my best, and everybody, you know, if you just look at people, football, out of football, everybody has a maximum ability. And the truth is, it's different for every single guy in the NFL, on the street, Wall Street, wherever it is. You can only maximize your own abilities. Now, the reality is there's a guy out there who's getting 100% out of himself, and there's a guy out there who's getting 70% out of himself. And regardless of what the result is, in my eyes, the guy who's getting, you know, 100%, 90%, he is more of a success than the guy who's only getting 70% of himself. And now there's guys who at 70% are still pretty good football players, are pretty good journalists, are pretty good whatevers, but still they're leaving 30% on the table. And so for me, if I can get 100 or, you know, as close to 100% out of myself as possible, then no matter what the results are, I can look myself in the mirror and say, I gave it every single thing I got. I emptied the tank. I turned over every rock. And if I still lost, having given everything, I can live with that. Now, obviously, the flip side of that is if you go out there and you don't do everything you can, win or lose, in my mind, you still fail because you didn't maximize your true ability or your true opportunity. So I just do that to myself. I look in the mirror, do my very best, get everything you can, take every inch, take every advantage, and win, lose, or draw, I can hold my head up high, look in the mirror, knowing that I am successful regardless.
So, Cameron, one quick follow. Hearing that, like David Goggins, my guy, I was reading him again over the weekend. He's amazing, former Navy SEAL. In fact, he's an Army Ranger, too. He's about 40%. He's like, we're all living at 40%. And since you brought those percentages, where do you come out? Are we all like at 50, 40, 70? Most people walking around are operating at what capacity of what they can do, in your opinion?
I definitely think it's not nowhere near 100. 40 probably is close, but I think especially when you are in a position where, whether it's football or off the field, and you really put your mind to something, you really focus in and laser in on something, I think most people will surprise themselves of what they're capable of. You know, I look at myself and I say, you know what, there's no way anybody could have written the script that said, this guy coming out of Penn State gets cut, spent a year off football, undrafted, all those things, he would, you know, achieve some of the things that I've achieved. And you asked me, maybe even back then, I probably would have, you know, had a little bit of doubt. But you laser focusing on whatever it is, and again, this is life, not just football, whatever that thing is you want to achieve, even if you don't do it. I think you'll be surprised how far you get or how close you get to whatever that is, and you'll surprise everybody else around you. So it's all about, like I said, that sacrifice and that commitment. And, you know, every yes is a no to something else, and you have to be willing to accept that. I think some people don't. And if you want to be great at something, you're probably going to be not so great at some other things. I've told people I'm probably not the best drinking buddy. I might not be the best groomsman, or maybe, you know, video game or spades partner, or maybe even not the best brother in the world or whatever. But, you know, I laser focused on this game of football, and I'm trying to get 100% out of myself. And like I said, when I can look in the mirror, when I retire, step away from this game, I'll be content with everything that goes along with it.
Cameron Wake, my guest. Cameron, that conversation was everything that I hoped that it would be and even more. So good to have you on the show. Couldn't appreciate or respect you anymore, man. Thank you so much for that.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That was great. That was amazing, actually. That was an amazing conversation. And I ran really heavy. My thanks to Cameron Wake. Your thoughts on that? Quick timeout. Here is a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm blown away by Cameron Wake. Not surprised, but blown away. Not even blown away. Like, I knew that he was like that. This is why I've always wanted to have him on the show. And that was the first time we've done that. Was always eager to connect with him and have a conversation with him. And that's why I could listen to that guy all day long. I could listen to him all day long. And that's why he's had the career that he's had, especially given where he started. Remember, he had to go to the CFL. Had to go to the CFL, took a year off of football. And we're talking about a guy who might end up with a mustard-colored blazer. That good, in my mind. Amazing conversation. Let's see, Seamus27 tweets, Matt in Van quit the show. I guess Canadians got a Canadian. I understand where a lot of you feel like you somehow got jammed. I understand that a lot of you need to tell yourself certain things to get through it. I mentioned David Goggins. I loaded up on Goggins during the break. Goggins, to this day on our podcast, he is one of the most cited or requested guests. That when people talk about the Jim Rome podcast, they talk about Goggins because a lot of you did not know him. And when I interviewed him for the first time, he had not yet written his book. He was in the process of writing his book. And then the book dropped, and it's an amazing book, New York Times bestseller. So I had already read the book, and then on vacation, I read the book a second time. I can't lie. I've been kind of loading up on Goggins once again. And Goggins is huge on this thing he calls the accountability mirror. The accountability mirror. Look in the mirror. The accountability mirror. He said that's how his life turned around. And I could go on and on, chapter and verse, about this guy and about how he turned his life around. But just that notion of the accountability mirror, a number of you need to look the hell into the accountability mirror. Again, in terms of the smack-off specifically, I don't care who wins or loses. There is no conspiracy. There is no agenda. We're not trying to, quote, do what's best for the conversation of the program. We do the smack-off every single year. If you're good enough, you get in the field. If you're lucky enough, you get on the air. I listen to your calls, and then we judge them, and we grade them, and we decide who wins. We have no agenda. So I don't really know what Matt, what's in the guy's head, what's in the guy's heart, why he quit. I really don't know. Matt was good for the show. Matt's best days, unfortunately for Matt, did not happen on the smack-off. I hope the guy comes around and comes back on the program. I'd hate to hear that he up and quit, never to be heard from ever again. Like these guys or not, respect these guys or not, I'm the host of the freaking show. I'm here to tell you the Canadians make the show better. They just didn't necessarily make the smack-off better. Or they didn't make it better for themselves. But just for the record, we're not coming for any of you. We don't have it in for any of you. I don't care about that. Totally objective, all right? And when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Because I look into the accountability mirror. Rick in Buffalo called last segment. I'm reading this now. All right. So Rick was the one who set this up. Rick was the one who called in and said Matt quit. Rick was the one who said that Matt quit after flaming out in the smack off. But remember, it was Matt in Vancouver that hit Rick with this blast right before the smack off.
And as for this gas bag, Rick in Buffalo, Rick, you look like an angry, screaming human penis, man, mixing a baseball cap.
I don't know, Matt. Maybe if you had saved that for the smack off, you wouldn't have quit after the smack off. Although personal appearance is not show fodder. And you saying that the guy looked like a human penis is personal appearance smack. Coach Shane Ross tweets, never needed to contact the show before. Cameron freaking Wake. That dude is unbelievable. Life seems so simple when you listen to his return on investment rationale. War C. Wake. I'd say the same thing. I could listen to that guy for hours. And I actually, as much as I respect him, and I respect him and appreciate him picking me up, I did kind of disagree with one thing he said. And he said it to kind of pick me up. I said, hey, Cameron, if we all know that eating a cheeseburger is going to make us feel good for 5 or 10 minutes, but crap for a day and a half, and we know this, why do we do this? And why do we do it a lot? He said, in your defense, you're a talk show host. It's your job to preserve your voice. It's your job to do your preparation. Our money makers are our bodies. My body is my Ferrari. Body is temple. It's different for you than it is for me. And where I would actually disagree with that, I mean, I agree with that. I don't make my living with my body. If I did, I'd be broke. However, it's kind of what it represents, right? If you make that choice, we're all product of our choices. You know, we make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. And if you keep doing things that you know you shouldn't do, it's going to go badly, right? Yeah, why do we keep doing that? Why do we keep smashing cheeseburgers when we know they're going to make us feel like crap and slow us down? And by the way, even though we don't make, most of us don't make our living with our body, we still feel like crap. Like when you have to get things done after you, I don't want to get too far out there, but if it makes you feel like crap for a day and a half, don't you still have to do things for a day and a half and not necessarily smash into other huge human beings? I know this. If I eat at night and I don't eat clean and I make a bad choice, then I've got to go to my office and do my prep. My prep's not as good. I'm just being real. I have to work twice as hard to clear my brain, to clear my body of the crap I put into it. So I kind of think what he says does apply to all of us. And that's not coming from a guy who's like, hey, yo, I'm a vegan. Take it from me. I know. I eat clean. Man, you wouldn't believe the crap that I put down my esophagus last night even. He quit, and now he's back on hold. I like it. I guess he didn't quit if he's on hold. Matt and Van is on hold. I like that. When we come back, Jim Trotter. My man, NFL.com reporter Jim Trotter joins me next. Matt and Van, we're going to find out whether or not he quit. He's on hold. Hang in there. Hour number 3 next.